J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Thursday, January 26, 2023, only 20 more days before those beautiful baseball fields in Florida and Arizona begin populating. There's a lot of players who have already reported. You can tell that is going on already. The guys are trying to get a jump start on things, and I salute that, by the way, because football is going to be over in a couple of weeks, and we got to have something to do. As I mentioned yesterday, Philadelphia, 2.5-point favorites over San Francisco. Cincinnati, 1.5 over Kansas City. That second game, that both of these games on Sunday are going to be fantastic. Some of you who follow me on Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, already know what I did yesterday. It was a long drive to and even longer coming back because of traffic. I drove down to Siesta Key in Florida, about a two-hour drive, and the drive down was easy. The drive back, I screwed up because I got stuck in all the traffic. I didn't time it right. But as I mentioned on Facebook, some of you will remember this. You guys are unbelievable. This happens every once in a while where some little reference, something I did on the air like 38 years ago, people will go, oh, I remember that. What? And yesterday was one of those examples for a lot of people. There was I was only in town a couple of months. And, of course, the old Casey Studios were right along Watson Road there and across the street from Crestwood Plaza. So I would finish the show, and sometimes I would go across the street into the mall just to sort of hang out, cause trouble, or eat on occasion. They had one of the locations of Athens Cafe. You know, I'd been living in Buffalo, New York, and they were not into Greek food there. So when I got here and they had multiple locations of Athens Cafe, including one in Crestwood Plaza, I would go all the time because I love eating good gyros. And I became friends, by the way, with Bob Scarrata. Bob Scarrata was not Greek, but he looked like he could have been Greek because he had a very ethnic look. Unfortunately, Bob was trying to manage like five restaurants at the same time, walked out. One of them was in Union Station. And one day he walked out to his car at Union Station and had a massive heart attack. He survived. He dropped about, I don't know, 40 pounds and became a runner. And I lost track of Bob. I wonder what Bob is doing these days. He was a really, really nice guy and would occasionally give me free food, but I gave him a lot of free publicity too. But I would go over there. And then the other place I liked there, and some of you will remember this, there was a place called York Steakhouse. York Steakhouse. And it wasn't exactly what you would call fine dining. It was more of a cafeteria style. You would walk in, you'd get your tray, you'd tell them what kind of meat you wanted, what kind of steak you wanted, and then they, you know, had a bunch of sides and stuff. And, you know, it was sort of like on the level of maybe like a Ponderosa or what was the other one? There was another one of those places, those steak places. I don't think it's around anymore. But anyhow, Sizzler. Sizzler was the other one. I would hang around. And then the other fun thing, I don't think I've ever talked about this before. I had friends who worked at the CPI photo developer place, sort of like a photo mat. And that became confusing later because the cable company became CTI Cable and they didn't have anything to do with one another. But they had an entire binder full of photographs that they were not allowed to return to the consumer. So in other words, somebody would come in with a roll of film. And again, this is, you know, I tried to explain this to my daughter the other night about how you had to take pictures. You had to be careful what you took. You couldn't just go snap, 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 snap like crazy because it would cost you money for every print. And she was looking at me like I was, you know, speaking Chinese. But anyhow, so you would, you'd go into CPI and they would pull you in the back room and they had this binder full of photographs. So somebody would take in their film and figure, okay, here's the kids, here's the Christmas tree, here's my new car. Oh, and here's mom with her shirt off, or worse. And I guess they had a policy back then that there was a certain line that was drawn where they were basically told, okay, you can print this, a little sexy picture, there's no big deal there. But if somebody's shooting like graphic nudes, you can't do that. So that guy would come back and pick up his prints and be told, you had some photos on your roll, sir, that we were not able to print. We're sorry, it's company policy. And that guy would go out then and buy a Polaroid camera, which is probably what the guy should have done from the beginning. So although they were not able to return those prints to the consumer, they kept a lot of them, especially the funny ones that were, you know, some guy who probably thought he looked really bitching standing there with his wang out, but it wasn't happening, you know. So they had a whole binder full of that stuff. So I'd hang out at the mall. That's quality entertainment, folks. That's quality entertainment. So in the process of this whole thing, I ran into a young lady who was working at Forsyth Computers at Crestwood Plaza. And by the way, I drove past there, I don't know, maybe like 6 months ago, and I saw that they have reduced the pile of rubble because for a while, after they destroyed Crestwood Plaza, they just let that stuff sit there. I guess there was a dispute as to what was going to happen, what they were going to do with the land, and so while the dispute was going on, unfortunately, you drive down Watson Road, and there's just this giant rock pile there. But it was really depressing because they had a lot of really fond memories. There were movie theaters in there. That place was alive. That place was alive. There was always something. You had all these restaurants, all these shops, all these people, plus a movie theater. It was a happening place. So it was really sort of sad to go by there and see that they're just like turning it into another subdivision or something. But anyhow, back in the day, back in 84, I would wander around and I became, like I said, I stuck my head under Forsyth Computers once. And I think I went in simply because the redheaded young lady who was working the counter, I just figured I'd go in there, work the bogus rap a little bit. Well, it seemed to work out and she was listening to the radio station. And so the next morning, and this is the part that some of you will remember because we used to play it back on anniversary shows and stuff, I would go on there and say things like, you know, I would mention her name, and I'm not going to do it now because I don't want to embarrass her, but I would say, you know, she's so cute, I would drink her bath water. It was the sort of thing I would say back then. And for whatever reason, that at least got her attention. We began dating, and she was a lovely gal, and as is the case in so many situations, you know, you go out for a little while and then things peter out for whatever reason and people go their separate ways. And in this particular case, Michelle, I'll use that. Let's call her Michelle. We're going to call her Michelle because that's her name. And we just went our separate ways and I didn't see her for a couple of decades. Long story made short, if that's even possible at this point. We reconnected a couple of years ago and yesterday I found out that she's now a millionaire, by the way. She has a place in Siesta Key, about 2 hours south of where I am right now. Although I'm going to be back in St. Louis very soon, and I'll explain that here in just a second. But anyhow, we reconnected a couple of years ago, and we had lunch yesterday down in Siesta Key, just sitting right there on the water. It was 83 degrees. It was beautiful. There was a wind blowing. It was just a wonderful day, and it was just great to get out of this town and see something new. But I'll tell you one thing. This Siesta Key is really basically Sarasota, and when you pull in to, you know, downtown Sarasota, the business district, the first thing you notice is the age of everybody. My God, it looks like everybody there is 90 because they're walking down the streets and they're coming in and out of shops and restaurants, and you just look around and go, holy Jesus, this is an old city. And that is one of those misconceptions about the state of Florida, incidentally, because, oh yeah, there's tons and tons of retirees in the state of Florida, but in the city of Tampa, this always shocks people. In the city of Tampa, Florida, the median age is 34. 34, the median age in Tampa, and that sort of spreads out of the Tampa area into, we're about 25 miles away from downtown Tampa, and it spreads really throughout the region, and there's tons and tons of young people here. There are parts of the region, and that would include where we are right now, it's mostly younger people. There's just enough bad driving by the retirees to screw up the whole place. But it's just another reminder, this story, that, you know, you can have an encounter, just a chance encounter with somebody. And here it is almost 40 years later. And she and I have become friends again after losing track of one another and then reconnecting. And there's just something really nice about that. Somebody said a long time ago, old friends are the best friends. And I have a tendency to believe that. All right. Speaking of JC back in St. Louis, we're getting very close. And I know I've said that before, and it's been very disappointing. And I'll explain all of this to you soon, and it will make sense. But because I've been talking about this for the better part of a year. But we're finally closing in, and I think we're only a couple of weeks away now from launching the new radio station. That is going to impact you. I can tell it will impact you because you're listening to the podcast, and the podcast is going to be moving. All right, still going to do it every day, but the podcast time is going to be moving. Let's just say it wouldn't make any sense to be competing with myself. In other words, if I was on the air on radio somewhere, I wouldn't want to have the podcast running against my own person. Now, I know that's going to come as a disappointment to a lot of people, but trust me, there will be something, I think, equally entertaining to not replace it, but at least in terms of the time that you're going to be listening to this. So, as I said, I'll explain all of this down the line. It will make sense to everybody, at least I hope it will. People are still mad about the snow prediction for yesterday. And unfortunately, I got to be a bad guy here now, because I don't think that the people understand that when you blast the weather guys and gals, for that matter, for a forecast that didn't exactly coincide with what you experienced at your house, then it's really sort of being mean to some very, very nice people. If you're a lawyer, you wouldn't want to be called a hack or an ambulance chaser. If you're a contractor, you wouldn't want anybody saying you do shoddy work. If you're a professional athlete, you wouldn't want somebody saying, he's dogging it out there. In fact, pretty much this would apply to any profession. And so similarly, you would not want to impugn an entire industry, shall we say, by complaining ad nauseum about the fact that there was a missing inch or two of snow at your house. Now, in this particular case, the weather people said right from the beginning, this is going to be a difficult forecast because we're right on the rain-snow line and, you know, it really could go either way. Some of this could come down as rain first, and if it does that, well, then the snow totals are going to be lower. And you were also told, especially late Monday night, as this thing started to roll into focus a little better, you were told that the thing seems to be shifting a little bit to the south. So if you were paying attention, the weather forecast actually was more accurate than inaccurate. I'm not saying they nailed it. I'm just saying they didn't blow it either. Because, you know, you go, geez, I mean, not even 50 miles south of downtown St. Louis, and they're sitting there with like 6-8 inches of snow. So it's not like they said it was going to snow and nothing happened. It just shifted a little bit to the south. But there was somebody on the internet yesterday, on the social media, really, really laying into these weather people. And it's somebody that we both know. You would know the name, and I've known this person for many, many years, many, many decades, as a matter of fact. And I finally had to sort of put my foot down, going, look, just hold on a minute. Just hold on. Because he was calling these people liars. He wasn't saying they blew the forecast or anything like that. He was actually calling them liars. He didn't use the word liars, but that's what he was saying. He was saying that the weather people deliberately, and that's the word, deliberately inflate the snow totals because it's good for ratings. That is patently false. First of all, I know all these people. Go over to Fox 2 and, Glenn Zimmerman and Angela and Chris. And you go over to 4, I know Kent. You go over to 5, I know those people too. And of course, there's Dave Murray. These people take great pride in what they do. Dave Murray is absolutely meticulous about the science and the experience that he pours into the weather forecasts that he spews out on a regular basis. And I know people are like, Dave Murray, I thought he retired. Yeah, he retired from TV, but he still does some radio stations. But he's always been that way, and they're all that way. For God's sakes, Chris Higgins over at Fox 2 was in the military for a number of years, and he did the weather forecasting for the attacks. So in other words, he's over there in the Persian Gulf, and they're like, all right, we want to, attack Kandahar or something. And he would be the guy saying, well, you shouldn't do that tomorrow because it's going to be windy and it's going to kick up the sand and the visibility will be lousy. You better go on Friday because on Friday it'll be clear and you don't, that. So he would do that. I mean, people's lives were dependent upon Chris Higgins' forecasts for the military over in the Persian Gulf. And then he served his time and then he came back to St. Louis and went back on television. So you're not going to stand there and tell me that a guy like Chris Higgins in Fox 2 is lying to you, deliberately inflating snow totals to jack up the ratings of the TV station. And then if you apply it to Dave, Dave's not even on TV. So what in the hell would his motivation be to lie to you about snow totals? There's nothing in it for him. So these, scurrilous accusations, and that's exactly what they are, by the way, they don't even make sense. They're not even logical. Now, the problem at the TV stations is that after the weather guy walks in at 2:30 in the afternoon and says, I think we're going to have a situation tomorrow. We're going to have some, relatively significant snowfall. That's when the producers and the management in the television newsrooms, that's where the problem starts, because then they start hyping it. And oftentimes they do go overboard. And we all have seen examples of that. But the actual man or woman who's doing the forecast, they're applying their science, they're applying their experience, and they're telling you what they think is going to happen based on the science that we have available in 2023. And therein lies the problem. People want weather forecasting to be an exact science, and it's not. It just isn't. But I can guarantee you, when they are telling you what they think is going to happen, they're absolutely telling the truth. That's their livelihood. And when the forecast doesn't come out exactly as they predicted, they get upset with themselves. But the idea, even the suggestion that they go on television and start lying to you and they say, well, I know it's going to be about 2 inches, but I'm going to say 6. Fuck you. Just fuck you. You don't know what you're talking about. Today is the third anniversary back in 2020 of Kobe Bryant dying in the helicopter crash, along with his 13-year-old daughter and 7 other people. And it was 53 years ago today, 1970, Simon and Garfunkel released their final album, Bridge Over Troubled Water, featuring the title track and, of course, The Boxer. Birthdays today, Eddie Van Halen would have had a birthday. He was, he would have been 68 today, but we lost him in 2020. The Octomom's octuplets are 14. Wayne Gretzky, 62. Ellen DeGeneres, 65. Anita Baker, 65. Bob Uecker, 89. And Gene Siskel would have been his birthday. He was born in 46. He died from complications from brain surgery. Gene was a good guy. He was very, very nice to me for a very, very long time. I want to go back to the Wayne Gretzky thing here for a minute.
Starting on right wing, number 16, Brett Hull. Starting on left wing, number 9, Shane Corson. And starting at center for the Blues, number 99, Wayne Gretzky.
You were playing, there was an unwritten rule. It can be such a tough, violent sport. There was an unwritten rule. You don't hit Wayne Gretzky. Now, that you were so important to the sport that opposing teams. Do you think that's true?
No, it's not true in the sense that I would come home some games and I remember getting up the next day and Janice saying to me, "Wow, you know, don't go to practice today." And I said, "No, we practice every day. I got to go." So I got hit. I didn't get hit as much as people probably wanted me to get hit, especially on the opposing teams. But listen, I knew it was time to retire. When I was playing my last year, and people I was playing against, before they would hit me, they would scream my name and say, "Hey, heads up," or "Wayne, get out of the way," or "Here we are." And I remember thinking, "Wow, okay, something's not right about this.
I don't want to be the guy that kills Wayne Gretzky."
So, yeah.
Look out, Wayne, here I come.
I'm one to hit you now.
That's kind of what it got to, and I said, you know what? And the hockey players have so much respect for each other, and it's such a physical game. We went to a Kings game about 2 years ago, and I have two children after I retired, and the Kings are always kind enough. They let me sit on the ice, and we're sitting there, and these players today are good. They're big, they're fast, they're strong. And after the first period, we got up, and my wife and I and my two little kids and my 11-year-old son at the time turned to my wife and said, "Okay, be really honest. Did Dad really play in this league?"
I love that. The opposing players were warning him before they would hit him behind the net. Oh, my God. It is an interesting situation, too. And that's true. The respect among and between all of the players and everybody in the organizations have a lot of respect for it. It's a very unusual thing. You don't see it in football. You don't see it in basketball. You don't see it in baseball. It is truly unique to the game of hockey. And I just love that story from him. You're going to see this clip on TV all over the place today because last night the Duquesne Loyola game, basketball game, an Uber Eats driver walks right onto the court of the game last night. Now, they say he was confused, but it sure sounds like it might have been some sort of setup to me. But the video is actually like, and the announcers are completely confused as to what the hell is going on. There is a map of the most listened to classic rock artists in pretty much every country on earth. And in the United States, it's AC/DC. You know, I try to be fair with my criticism of politicians and their families. And you're like, their families, leave their families out of it. No, 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 that's not true. Because if the family member is front and center, and that family member is actually making an effort to sort of capitalize, shall we say, on the popularity of their mother or father who's in politics, then the rules are different. Then the rules are different. And in the case of Bristol Palin, who apparently never heard of birth control, she should have taken the birth control pill and held it between her knees. It would have done more good that way, apparently. And in addition to all of that, it was like, you know, she had plastic surgery there a couple of years ago, and you can't even tell it's her anymore. And now it turns out she just underwent her 9th breast reconstruction. 9 of them. She says all the surgeries stem from a botched reduction surgery she had when she was 19. I ain't buying it. I'm sorry. You have heard stories about Ozempic, those commercials. I just want to, it makes me want to kill. It just makes me want to kill. If I lunge for the TV and hit the mute button when those Ozempic commercials come on, nobody cares what your A1C is anyhow, and you've ruined a song. And now it turns out that there are people taking Ozempic because it has weight loss side effects, I guess you would say. They even say it in the commercial. They can lose, yeah, you can lose up to 15 pounds. So people heard that and were like, give me some fucking Ozempic. And they're going to the doctor and taking diabetes medicine when they're not supposed to. And that can't be good for you. Chelsea Handler, the latest person to say she was taking Ozempic, but she didn't know about it because her doctor would hand it out to everybody. Again, I ain't buying it. Facebook reinstating Donald Trump's account, and it's going to be reinstated on Instagram as well. Late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Michael B. Jordan. He's hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend. George Clooney, Snoop Dogg, and Coldplay. I'm with Kimmel tonight, and I'll get back to that in a minute. Stephen Colbert's got Tom Hanks, David Duchovny, Why Don't You Love Me? I'm with James Corden, Seth Meyers, Alex Wagner from MSNBC, and Bowen Yang, the most talented cast member on Saturday Night Live in years. Jimmy Kimmel is having a live 20th anniversary show at 9 o'clock tonight on ABC. You might want to check that out. More details on the Jeremy Renner situation. It turns out he was trying to jump back into the cab of his snow grooming machine to stop it from sliding toward his nephew when Jeremy Renner got crushed underneath. He jumped out in front of it without setting the parking brake, and that's what happened. He's lucky to be alive. More fallout from these congressional hearings regarding Ticketmaster and Live Nation, because it's like, well, we'll just hold it a second here. You manage the acts, you own the venues, and you control all the ticket sales. All right. In 1986, Madonna went on tour, and her tickets were $15 a piece. And you're like, well, JC, yeah, that was 1986 and there's inflation. Okay, adjusted for inflation, it's $29. So Madonna, arguably at the, well, just approaching the peak of her popularity in 1986, you're paying less than $30 for a ticket. And now the tickets are like, I don't know, $400? Something stinks here, and we've all known about it for a long time, but Congress finally get involved in this whole thing. Even Garth Brooks yesterday wrote a letter to Congress basically saying ticket scalping should be illegal. And then you had the Taylor Swift thing where people get online 1 second after the tickets become available and are already told the tickets are already gone because the scalpers have robots that have figured out a way to game the system, and then, you know, we can't get any tickets. Back in 1989, I did a half-hour TV special for Channel 5 called JC Went to Cardinal Spring Training, and all we got was this lousy TV show. Won an Emmy for that, by the way. And one of the things we did is we stopped by the original Hooters, which is right down the street in Clearwater, and we interviewed some of the people, and we did this funny bit where it would take too long to explain. But anyhow, that's the original Hooters, the very first one still there. When Margot Robbie was 16, she played a customer in a Hooters commercial, and they ended up offering her a job. She said, here's the quote, I was like, I think this is where my career is going, and I'm going to end up working at Hooters, end quote. Well, you ended up in something that's almost as bad as a Hooters, and it's that awful movie that you're in right now. She's good in it, but the movie stinks. The Pope, arrived in St. Louis on this date in 1999. You can remember all that orange snow fencing that was going up and down. I think it was Forest Park Parkway, because that was the route that he was going to take. And he ended up at the, I think at that time we called it the Savas Center. And he was just, they gave him a hockey stick. And he was just sitting there tapping the hockey stick. He said, I'm going to come back to St. Louis, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to play hockey. And everybody started cheering. And for those of you who are World War III fans, you're probably pretty happy to know that the president is sending 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine for its war against Russia. As a bonus, he's throwing in a couple boxes of classified documents. So there's that. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, January 26, 2023 is in the can. 20 more days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. Please help us spread the word that we are here at jconline.com with the podcast every Monday through Friday right about this time. You may email me at jc@jconline.com. Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day, everybody. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.